Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we're talking with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Tim Duffy about spring fishing and also about turkey hunting. And then we've got a very interesting interview with pro guide and pro angler from over in Minnesota, Brian Brosdahl. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
The Can-Am Spring Fever Sales event is on at Hayward Power Sports. Clean up on a limited selection of remaining 2019 Can-Am off-road vehicles with rebates up to $2,500 along with promotional financing on select models. Looking to step up to a brand new 2020? The all-new Can-Am Defender Limited side-by-side allows you to work and play in complete comfort. It's loaded with features and capability you'd expect from only the most refined all-weather workhorse. It even boasts a full cabin closure with full climate control, including digital air conditioning and heating. Or make sure you're running at the front of the pack with a Can-Am Maverick X3 XDS Turbo RR side-by-side. It features an industry-leading 195 horsepower, and qualified buyers can take advantage of 1.99% financing for 60 months. This is Kevin inviting you to check out the Can-Am Spring Fever Sales event today at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77, or online at haywardpowersports.com.
Certain restrictions apply. Subject to credit approval. See your dealer for details.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu. And while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering, right next to Cooper's Family Restaurant in Hayward. We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and helping out as co-host today, we got Hayward Area Fishing Guide Tim Duffy. Good morning, Tim.
Morning, John.
And, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about the ice fishing out there. Reports I've been getting from Hayward Bait here and from everywhere is that they've been getting some fish. The panfish in particular have been pretty good. You know, game fish season wrapped up there. But as far as the panfish, they've been getting panfish. And, you know, the fact is it's been a kind of an afternoon evening bite for most people from what I've been hearing.
Yeah, I've been out quite a bit. Actually, me and you got a job coming up here. You know, not only is it seems to be a later afternoon bite, even a lot of people think it's the later afternoon thing is for just crappies. But even the bluegills and the perch, I mean, for some reason it's a later afternoon bite. And we'll have tip-ups out there for northerns, and it's like, they'll sit there all day long, you know, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and it's almost like a walleye bite, you know, and I don't know why that is, but maybe because the other fish are in that later afternoon bite, then they, you know, get a little bit active. I think it's going to straighten out here, you know, soon, but I mean, right now it just seems, oh, one day you go out there and you get a nice bunch of crappies and you get some tip-up action, and the next day you go out there and you know, you might get smaller fish, but you might not get crappies. It's difficult. It's not consistent.
You know, as this is airing here, weekend of the 8th, that's the last weekend for the game fish season. And the one thing, too, that if you want to keep fishing tip-ups, you got to remember is you can be out there fishing tip-ups for largemouth bass, smallmouth bass. So you've got an option there. But, you know, I kind of expected normally that you see the walleye action would have picked up toward the end of the season, but we really didn't see much of that picking up in before the closing of the season. It was mostly the panfish, and like you said, it was a lot of times it was a late afternoon, evening bite.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I've had times where, you know, it's the perfect late finish to the tip-up season, you know, for the walleyes and the bass and stuff where, you know, the snow's melted down, you got water running in the holes, there's oxygen getting in there. This year, just, you know, you got white ice from our early season with the snows and stuff. You got a lot of snow still on the lakes, and it's not going to happen just because you don't have, I think you start losing your oxygen. You know, a lot of the weedy lakes even, you think that the weeds that you had in the summer are still out there in the winter, they're not. A lot of them die off, so you got to go either really shallow To find those weeds and on some of the little lakes, you know, it's you're talking 3, 4, 5 foot of water till you find the weeds.
Well, you know, weeds in any vegetation actually need sunlight, and it's pretty hard to get sunlight through all this opaque ice and all the snow we've got on top of that ice right now.
Yeah, I think the nice thing is that, you know, at least we're seeing fish moving from the deeper water into the places where they might be close to where they're going to spawn or get the warmer water when the ice goes off. And usually they'll hang in, you know, still deeper holes and stuff, but pretty close to the areas that they're going to move to when that ice goes off, and they're going to, you know, be close to their spawning places, and especially northerns, you know, they start, you know, they can spawn underneath the ice, so they start, you know, moving towards those areas. But your perch, I mean,
they're right away too.
You get perch, you got the bellies are full of eggs, and this time of year you can see that, so they start moving, you know, pretty fast to the, you know, because as soon as that ice is gone, or before even, they're spawning.
You bet. You know, and there'll be a lot of that going on. You got some other fishing opportunities we'll be having coming up too. I mean, one is the end of the month, we have the steelhead season coming up, and you know that we start seeing stuff perk up around the rivers up there, and even places like a hot pond and where we find open water.
Yeah, I used to, you know, even this time of year, you know, a lot of times the hot pond would be open, but a lot of times we want a little bit more open water, you know, to put a boat in or something. But I fished from the shore, I fished from the wall. It's kind of nice to put a boat in there, and that's kind of a unique place. You got warm water coming in there, and it blows across to the coal dock over there, and there's all those spots have 20 foot or so channels that run right up to the shoreline, and so a lot of times the fish use those as highways. They swim in on those things. You can actually watch them come across that shallow. The hot pond's only, you know, 6, 7, 8 feet deep, and they'll work at usually lower light. They'll work their way towards that warmer water, and they'll come in there and feed on minnows and stuff because, you know, the Lake Superior is clear, and you don't really get the muddy, dirty water until the ice is gone, and then you get runoff from the rains and stuff like that, and then the lake will turn muddy, and then actually it's better walleye fishing. But right now you can go up there and be catching cohos. I've caught jacks, the small king salmon. I've caught just about everything under the sun, but it's had some really good fishing. In the past years, instead of waiting for that hot pond area, a lot of times if I get a nice day, I'd run all the way up to the north shore. And it's not that far. It's, you know, it's an hour to Ashland, and it's probably a little more than an hour to get, you know, through Duluth, you know, going out on the scenic drive that way, right, and getting along the lake. But there's an unbelievable fishing from the shore for the steelhead and cantaloupes, which are cantaloupes across between a steelhead and something else. But, you know, you get a nice day, you're sitting out on the rocks, I got a long rod, you know, 9-10 foot rod, light line, because the water's crystal clear, usually using little things like little waxies, little almost little fly type jigs and stuff. I've caught them on Rapalas and things like that, spoons, but usually the small stuff work better. But yeah, I could sit there and watch those things swimming along the shore. They're pretty cool.
You bet. Well, you know, we're going to take a break right now, Tim, and hear from some of the fine sponsors that make the show possible every week. We come back, I'm going to have a little bit more to talk about with you. So stay tuned, folks. We'll be back right after these messages. Hunters and Anglers, Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in Hayward. They have a huge selection of ice fishing gear, including portable shelters, power augers, electronics, beaver dam tip-ups, ice rods, and just about anything you'll need for ice fishing. They also have archery supplies, bows, crossbows, muzzleloaders, ammo, and much more to help you enjoy the outdoors. While you're there, check out the bottle shop for a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
It's Ski-Doo's winter celebration at Hayward Power Sports. The 2019 Ski-Doo MXZ TNT snowmobile brings the performance to attack the tight and twisting trails of the North Woods. Choose the 600 or 850 Rotax engine on the revolutionary Gen 4 platform. Incentive-wise, take your pick of a 2-year warranty and a $500 rebate, or claim a $1,000 rebate, or choose 0% financing for 36 months. Get that Ski-Doo feeling at Hayward Power Sports, 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and helping out co-host today is fishing guide Tim Duffy from Hayward. And Tim, you know, when you were out there talking about the North Shore up there, but you got the South Shore, we'll have the steelhead season. Everybody kind of thinks about the Brule. The Brule is our famous and big river, but there's a lot of streams up there that have steelhead and trout in them.
There is. And here's something that a lot of people don't understand. You get the opening of the steelhead season on the Brule, and they think that those fish are swimming out of the lake into the river at that time. They're not. They swam in the fall, and they're wintering in that river for the whole winter. They come in the fall, they stay there all winter long, and that's why they're catching those fish that have been in there all winter long. You're not getting fresh run, you know, steelhead coming out of the lake. There is a run. It's usually later on, about the time that we get maybe close to our opening of fishing season, and most guys aren't thinking about steelhead then, but then there is fresh fish that come in, and you can kind of tell. The ones you catch all winter, they're kind of darker. The ones that come in from the lake in the springtime, usually nice and silver. The Sioux River, that gets the fish, they're not wintering in there because it's too shallow. Those fish we get in there are swimming out of the lake, and they're nice, fresh fish. You can tell that they came out of the lake, and that's usually, it's not right away. It's you know, about the time that, you know, just before our fishing season opens.
You know, there's a lot of different streams up there, and then once we get past that, there'll actually be some areas that you can go open water trolling. One of them you already mentioned, the North Shore, but a lot of times you get up toward the Michigan state line up there, a couple boat accesses up there where you can get out, and a lot of times that's open all the way out. And as soon as you can get open water out there, the trolling can be pretty good. You don't have to wait for the Shawangut Bay to open.
Yeah, so normally I just don't like to drive that far with my boat, but there's a lot of Hayward guys. Daryl goes up there, the Shumways go up there and fish that. So if you want to drive, you're going to find open water eventually. You know, it's not too often that the lake freezes. So it's just how far you want to go. And Michigan, what is that, Black River, whatever it is?
I don't know, Michigan, not sure.
But that's not that far through Ashland that way. And you know, there's always some open water there and some good fishing. It's just, but then you're in the big water too. So it's like, I kind of like to stay in the Shawangut Bay where you can still have big water, but you're protected by some islands and it's just like a big lake. So,
well, quite a few guys go over by Green Bay and the Fox River over there, big walleyes there, 8-10 pound walleyes over there, and some guys head to Mississippi, just a lot of places.
Yeah, so me and you were talking about that. It's like, you know, a lot of people from Hayward go and fish those different locations. You used to fish on those rivers and stuff.
Yep.
I said we should, you know, you got that John boat, we should go up there and you know, go for a couple. They get two, three guys, get a motel and spend a couple days fishing. It seems like a good time.
You bet. You know, and talk about one other thing I want to talk to you about here, too, is that the one thing that's coming up real shortly here will be the spring turkey seasons. And I know you've been pretty successful at finding turkey and getting one every year.
Yeah, I think, you know, I can just remember my first hunt, and I had a guy, Jonas Sova, took me out because I didn't understand anything about it. And he was talking about the, you know, early morning, things like that. But actually, that was probably the biggest turkey I ever shot, was that first year I hunted. But I remember as a kid, I mean, just like Canadian geese, we never saw that many geese here. We never saw a turkey here. Now, I mean, those turkeys are, you know, they're up by Kevin's in Thief River Falls, Minnesota. I see turkeys up there now. That's way up, you know, way up north. So I think we're, you know, they're here to stay. And I think sometimes you can have a bad winter or something, but I think I'm lucky that where I live, I don't have to drive that far. I got fields by me. I got swamp by me. I got woods by me. And the combination is pretty nice because they kind of use all of those things.
And this winter and last winter was pretty bad and tough on the birds, but their birds have made it through, and I got plenty of birds coming around my place too now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing birds. They kind of circuit through. I mean, it's every other day, like right now, because I mean, things are pretty tough still. You got still got snow. The deer and the turkeys are they're pretty hungry. So I see them pretty regular now. But a lot of times with the hunting, people think like there's a wintering spot for those birds, and then when you're coming out, depending what season you have, coming out of that wintering, they start to spread their territory to almost their spring, to their, you know, mating areas and their summer areas. So, and they're totally different from the wintering spots to the summering areas.
So the question is that when do you start your spring scouting? What weather conditions, what do you do?
Well, so depending on when that snow starts to walk. Remember I was up by you that one year looking for birds, and right. I remember walking through snow, and so the birds are probably still going to be in their wintering areas, which is usually a little thicker timber, pine trees, stuff like that. And in the snow, it's pretty easy. You look for tracks, but it's amazing. They're not traveling as far in the winter as they do in the summer. And so you'll be walking, nothing, and all of a sudden you'll find an area that's full of turkey tracks and feathers. The other thing is they roost pretty much in a lot of the same trees all winter long. So when you find one of those trees, there's poop all over heck on the bottom, and there's feathers and everything else on the bottom. So when you find their wintering spots, there's a ton of sign there.
But will they be moved out of there by the time the season opens?
Well, we've had some of the, like the first season, where there's still snow on the ground and stuff like that. And I think they're probably thinking about breeding and stuff. But if it's still kind of crappy, what we've had somewhere, there's snowing, you know, on the opener, you know, the first season. So,
right.
Depending on if the snow is gone and then I think they're gonna be out of that wintering area. They're gonna be up in the fields and moving around. They're hungry too. They want to get grasses and bugs and stuff like that to eat. So, if the snow is gone and the conditions are nice weather, they're gonna be out in the fields and places where they probably normally wouldn't be in the wintertime.
Well, Timmy, you know, we're going to have to take a break right now and hear from some of our fine sponsors.
Carlson Motorsports is Hayward's newest auto dealership. If you're looking for a used vehicle, stop in today. Carlson Motorsports is located just north of the intersection of Highway 63 and 77 on Windrose Lane. Give them a call today at 715-634-1347.
Pet owners, if there's a word better than inexpensive, it's free. Hayward Animal Hospital has always offered a free wellness exam with the vaccination of your pet. Your cat or dog will be given the highest quality and most comprehensive vaccines available to ensure continued protection against a variety of diseases with no hidden exam fees. The next time your pet needs vaccinations, consider a free wellness exam and Dr. Ostrander's over 30 years of experience. Hayward Animal Hospital is located on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Mayrie, and helping out co-host is Hayward Area Fishing Guide Tim Duffy. And, Tim, you know, we're still in the ice fishing mode. And one of the guys I get on the show quite often is one of the guides over in Minnesota. He's getting to be a pretty well-known fishing guide, bro, Brian Bro, Brosdahl over there. Great guy, good guide over there. Does a lot of pro work, pro staff work with Frabel and different companies in Northland Tackle. I had a chance to talk to him about panfish jigs, jig selection, and presentations. Let's hear what he had to say on that with some good tips, and we'll come back with a wrap-up on the show.
Well, bro, you know, when we're out there, the whole name of the game now when it comes to ice fishing is a lot of guys call it ice trolling or run and gun, and sometimes drill a lot of holes, but how far do you place your holes apart? Does it depend on the structure you're on or what?
That's a great question, and being a guide, I want to take the least amount of steps to have the maximum amount of fish, because you can spin yourself in circles and never get a good result, and you can drill a lot of holes. Minimum holes are better. You could drill a lot of holes with today's augers and light augers that are on drills. It's really easy. It's harder walking across the ice than it is to put a hole in. But too many holes scare fish. So I like to space them out, you know, just 20 feet apart if you're on a microstructure. If you're in a big vast area and you need to grid a flat, then you can space them 50 feet apart. But the real thing is you can micro-tune those holes later, a little at a time, not all at once. It's unfortunate, but sometimes I go fishing and you're on a spot and you finally find where the fish are at and somebody's drilling and they never stop drilling.
Yeah.
And they don't realize that they passed the fish up. You got to stop and you got to check. You got to use your electronics, your Hummingbirds, or whatever you use, but I like to use an AquaView camera and look around. So the 1-2 punch at each hole helps me figure it out. But spacing the hole, sometimes when I'm just fishing in, you know, finding a good walleye or panfish spot is like finding a good deer stand spot. You scout the woods to make sure that that morning there isn't another flashlight going up in a tree right next to you, because that ruins your deer hunt. Well, when you're fishing, I scout to find the best possible ambush spot to get these walleyes. And the real trick is forage bait fishing, cool structure. But you don't have to drill a zillion holes. With today's technology and mapping, Google Earth and phone apps for the Department of Natural Resources in all the states, we can hone down, find the spots, and drill as you need the holes, and the fish won't get pushed out of an area. Too many holes sometimes completely evacuate the spot. But just drill as you need to, and the smaller holes catch more fish. Less light penetration, and then if you have kids, their boot ain't going to go down the ice and come off on the other side. So a 6-inch hole, you could pull a lot of really good sized fish through. If you're going to be fishing and targeting northerns, walleyes, or lake trout, go with an 8-foot or 8-inch hole. But any other time, I like to look around with a 6-inch hole. You can get an awfully large panfish to that hole also.
You bet you can. You know, and you mentioned that the technology and stuff, and with like a Hummingbird Helix 7 with the Lake Master maps, you've got the break lines already mapped. You can follow that, and you can actually get pretty close to drilling holes and refine it from there.
And you could look for spots to drill before you go, because with the Lake Master map chip and cartography, you can look at a spot that you've never seen before just by scrolling on the screen before you go. You can mark a waypoint on that spot, so when you get there, you can remember, oh yeah, I'm gonna fish here because I studied it last night. That's a cool thing. And then I might even use like Google Earth or other apps to see what kind of weed beds there, because you could see that on clear lakes, you could see the weeds just by the satellite photo. There's a lot of technology in our favor. And then the neat thing with those 1-foot contours, it just takes all the wasted holes out of it. And even if you could drill 100 holes, if you could drill 100, I'll drill 20 and let's see what happens.
Right.
20 very well-placed holes with less noise are going to catch more fish.
Bro, you know, when it comes to jig fishing out there, whether if you're after panfish or walleye, so I know there's a lot of different dial jigs out there. What determines what style of a jig and weight jig that you're going to use on a given day?
Well, you know, for a long period of time, we've always had lead jigs, and lead works just fine and a good paint job, and now there's tungsten. So what are the differences? A heavy lead jig still gets you down there quick. Tungsten's a lot heavier. But remember, they're made differently. Tungsten has a soldered hook, and when you solder the hook, some hooks become weak. So that's something to consider when you're fighting lots of fish or big fish. Northland Fishing Tackle doesn't solder it. They have a different technique to keep their hooks on so their hooks don't break, so you don't heat up that hook. But I like to pick jigs based on different shapes. And if you'll notice, some of them look like larvae, the ones I'm using, and some of them are just a round ball. There's a lot of different insect life underneath the water, different shapes that trigger fish, and you always see that happen. But sometimes I'll just use a regular round ball jig or a flat jig like a gill getter or a mini fireball, and then add plastics. So if you're adding plastics, you want your jig head to complement the plastic. So something that's going to make it swim forward, that's why I use a gill getter. A bro bug head is just a little jig head, but it's got a fine wire hook to hold your plastics on straight. Plastics are a big deal nowadays, and we use them all the time. But now if I'm going to use tungsten drops through slush really nice. Tungsten gets you down there, and picking tungsten, you could use smaller shapes and smaller sizes and achieve the same results. So that's something to remember. So even if you're not using plastics, if you use live bait, try plastics at the same time. Compare the two. If you're on a lake and you got a few minutes, drop down a mini impulse mayfly or a smelt minnow or a tapeworm or all these different shapes. You'll wonder why we have the whole entomology collection here. But when you look at all the different shapes, sometimes they trigger them. I have on my seminars that I'm going to have in Wisconsin at all the different tackle shops, I have live strikes from bluegills. And you can watch how the bluegills react to stuff. but I have a school of perch that would not touch maggots, would not touch waxworms, and I drop down a plastic mayfly on a jig head, and they just inhale it. They race for it. So if it's the shape of what they really want to eat, it's like me. If I'm hungry for a perch fillet, I don't want spaghetti. You know, so you gotta treat the fish just like that. So try different shapes and sizes. Remember, eyes and small emerging insects and minnows, they have bulging eyes because they gotta see or they get eaten. And that's why I use Brobug as the bulging eyes, and so do the Mudbug and Gillgetter. But try different shapes of plastic, smelt minnow, anything, and don't over jig it. Fish ain't wearing tennis shoes. They don't wanna chase around in the wintertime. Wintertime, they want to move slow and be able to catch stuff. So just keep that in mind. Light movements are going to catch fish. Watch your jigging motions in the hole, then drop it down. That'll really help.
You know, when it comes to jig fishing, you know, there's lots of different jigging presentations. You've got everything from a real aggressive, like a jigging spoons, to fishing more subtle. What determines how to tell you what you're going to use on a given day?
Well, I like to use a lighter jig if I can get away with it, because they'll pick it up and they'll hold it. But there's also times when you could use a heavy jig. If you're on a hot, fast, and furious bite, you want to get down there quick. But, you know, swimming the bait, you want it to look natural. You don't want it to look unnatural. So just remember, key in on that. In clear bodies of water, the fish are very wary. And in darker waters, a lot of times they'll attack by sound. So aggressive jigging, when the fish are hot, they're going to come in and eat it. So drop it down and jig the heck out of it. If the fish are a neutral biter, or there's a lot of pressure, there's a lot of movement, there's a crowd on a lake, then the subtle jigging motions, and try to create a natural bait swimming style. Something that it looks like a fleeing or darting insect or a feeding insect is natural. The fish are going to approach it. Save the aggressive jigging techniques for a low pressure system. But if you got a stall high pressure system over you and you start jigging real hard, that's a good way to push the fish over to your friends. And I like to bring my fish over to me. If you ever go fishing with your buddy and he catches one more than you, you know how it is. So changing your jigging technique to match the weather, and then also feeding. And then, of course, sizing the jig to the right size for accomplishing your goal. If you want to get a mess of fish, or if you just want to go for big ones, larger, bulkier larger bulky jigs catch bigger fish, especially in darker water. Contrasting colors with stripes or dots or any different things are a big deal. And then glow is awesome. Use a whole complement of this stuff. And then remember, UV, ultraviolet, a little bit of coating on a jig works really well. And if you look in the departments at, like, you know, the new buckshots and stuff, they got UV. They're almost sold out everywhere you go. UV's hot. It wins tournaments in the summer, and it also works in winter. If you're hunting in the woods, you don't want UV on your clothes because you stick out like a sore thumb to the deer. But when you're fishing in the water, you want UV on it. So that's the whole thing. Everything's changing. We don't want it. We want it. We want it. We don't want it. You know how it is.
You bet. Well, it's fun talking to you again, bro. And, you know, by golly, one of these days we're going to have to get together and go fishing.
Absolutely. Come on up and we'll go fishing. And the best time to go is whenever you can. So if you get a day off, it's raining, let's go. If it's windy, let's go. If it's really hot, we'll wait till the sun goes down.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, it was interesting listening to him talking about, you know, tungsten and lead jigs, and there's just a wide range of things, and some of the jigs show up better on depth finders than others. They're just, a jig's not just a jig.
It's amazing. You know, here years ago, I remember when we didn't have the electronics. I went fishing without electronics, but now just your fishing line, the micro jigs, tungsten. I mean, you can go small, where, you know, you could go small before, but the stuff weighed nothing. It was hard to get it down to the bottom. So it's like, just like the fishing line, the fishing poles, the fishing reels, in the lure area, tons of changes. And tungsten jigs are unbelievable as far as the size you can go. And there's times where they want small.
Yeah, and so there's times when they want something that drops a lot slower, too. Tim, we're about out of time for this week. You want to give out some guide information? Anybody wants to get a hold of you?
Yeah, they can get a hold of me. They can call me at 715-634-5100.
And thanks for coming on here, Tim.
Thanks for having me, John.
And folks, we're out of time. I want to remind folks out there that if you miss a show, you can always get that show on our website. at WNORadio.net, and from there you can link through to our podcast site. It's also on Spotify on your phone, so you can always pick up and catch up on what a show that you missed over the weekend. We're out of time for this week, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show.
Along, listen with me, I'm gonna take you there to our Wisconsin outdoors, our Wisconsin outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.